This is Around Montgomery County. I'm your host, Sean Balint. It is a school year that will be remembered for decades, maybe centuries. The adjustment to COVID-19 has been a difficult one, and it hasn't really offered much time to make big adjustments. One of the adjustments will be graduation ceremonies. The Hillsborough schools tried to plan a mid-July graduation, but that's complicated after the governor's five-phase recovery plan was revealed.
Not great. That plan wasn't in place when we made this decision back middle of April. It looks like we would have to be all the way to phase five to have a normal traditional graduation ceremony. So we're gonna have something short of that. What it looks like is yet to be determined. You know, as we get closer and closer, we're working on any number of different possibilities. And folks, you see those all over the country with different creative solutions from drive-bys to virtual, that kind of thing. And so there will be some components of that. We're still looking at a kind of an interesting possibility of putting the kids and a large projector screen kind of on the hill on the, it would be the east side of the parking lots, the student parking lots, so that maybe we could fill those parking lots, including the one across the street from the junior high with cars that could view that. That's just one of any number of scenarios we have. But going back to the beginning of this, I was getting all kinds of ideas from adults about the way we could do this. And I sort of called a time out and said, how about we ask the graduates, ask these seniors what they want to do. So I asked Mrs. Hyan, the high school principal, to get with her. She has a principal advisory team and we have a student council and of course class officers, and asked the kids what they wanted. And they were adamant, almost to a person. They really wanted to hold off and wait and try to have the best format. And if it meant waiting to have a better celebration, they were willing to do that. So that was the impetus behind the decision to delay it. So now we've got this date in July that we're ticking toward, and we're going to come up with the best, most creative way that we can to really send those kids off in style and have a ceremony that they really enjoy and can remember.
And when you think about proms and dances, a good prom or dance night usually doesn't involve social distancing. And Superintendent Powell says that is a complicated discussion.
Yes, and that the threshold for cancellation of the prom is and that other the eighth grade dance, of course, is a lot lower than that for graduation. We will have some form of graduation on that date in July. The prom and the eighth grade dance, it's looking more and more like those will be canceled. But we haven't pulled the trigger on those yet. It's just nearly impossible to pull off something like that with the restrictions that I expect will still be in place.
Without much notice, back in March, students suddenly were flushed into the world of e-learning full-time. Superintendent Powell talks about that adjustment.
Well, I tell you, the transition from the traditional classroom to the e-learning, I was so proud of our administrative team and teachers for the way they rallied together and got that plan up. Someone, used the analogy of building a plane while you're trying to fly it. That's kind of what it felt like. But boy, we really, really did have a great response from staff, and we got a solid plan put in place right away. I would put our plan up against and what we were able to do in those weeks right after the closure up against any district around. I really think we did a heck of a job. Now, the problem has been, and the challenge is, keeping those kids engaged who don't have the support at home to push them to be engaged, right? So we've got some kids that have a challenge of no internet access at home. There were some in the beginning that had the internet access, but the only device they had may be a parent's phone or their own cell phone. We were able to solve that right away. We distributed dozens and dozens of Chromebook devices to any student that needed them. So then the barrier really just became, do you have that internet access at home? And we have a number that do not, as you can imagine, especially those that lie in rural areas where it's a little harder to get that sort of service. So for those, we're delivering paper packets. For the rest, we're doing everything online. As the months weeks wear on, it's getting tougher and tougher to keep kids engaged. And you can imagine, you know, we've got some classes at the high school where maybe we had, you know, a lot of freshmen and maybe some of our students who aren't as academically strong. The participation rate is not as good as it is in an upper level class or a pre-calculus, that sort of thing. We're seeing that. So depending on a teacher's teaching schedule and sort of the makeup of their classrooms, you know, we're seeing everything from 90% participation down to 15% participation in some of those classes. And there's just not a darn thing we can do about it, unfortunately, other than continue to call and reach out and encourage parents and encourage kids. And, you know, and when we do that, we're getting everything from a positive response and more interaction and a thank you all the way to a good old-fashioned cussing and leave me alone, quit calling me. Unfortunately, we get everything in between. But we're going to continue to fight that good fight and try to keep kids engaged. Overall, I'm proud of the way it's going. I just wish we had more kids taking advantage of the opportunity.
While the switch to e-learning was seen as a necessity, does it bring opportunity in the future? Well, Powell talks about what's going on with distance learning and possibly bringing advanced coursework that one school alone may not be able to handle.
Yes, we had already been working on doing more online, and we use the Google platform in our district. So most of our teachers, particularly at the high school level, were already up and running with all their students already in Google Classrooms, if you will. And so a lot of that was in place, and for some teachers it was just a seamless transition. We've been doing a lot of professional development around remote learning and using technology appropriately. And so, you know, some grade levels and some subject areas were further along than others. This is something we've been working on.
Before COVID-19 took over the headlines and took over this country, sanitation was certainly a concern with a vicious flu bug. In fact, it claimed the life of a young student, an athlete from the Chatham schools near Springfield. Powell says sanitation has been a top priority, and that paid off.
I would think so. Our maintenance director and facility director, Fred Butler, does a great job of staying ahead of those kinds of things. And we adjust the way that we clean per the season, particularly with regard to the flu. And we've in recent years purchased some new equipment and really sort of hospital-grade cleaning. I don't know the right terminology for the different pieces of equipment. But we've done really stepped that up in the last 2 years. And so, you know, we'll never know, you know, what effect that has had, but certainly I feel like we are using best practices when it comes to cleaning the buildings and disinfecting with regard to viruses in particular.
And Powell talks about producing meals for students while workers went the extra mile to avoid COVID-19 issues.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up because I want to be sure to mention that our food service staff and our transportation staff have really stepped up in this. We're delivering 600 meals a day, door to door. I don't know of any other district that's doing the delivery quite the way that we are. It's 5 days a week. We're bringing meals directly to front doors in every corner of the district, every hill and holler, as my grandmother would say. And we're only able to do that because we've got the food service personnel and bus drivers that have stepped up and that are, we're rotating those through so they're not all coming in every day. And of course, we're taking all the precautions that we can. But we have had some scares there too. And, you know, with some tests and things that so far we've, you know, worked with the health department and made sure we're following all the right steps and that we're doing all the things we need to do to keep folks safe. But, yeah, we've been able to keep those meals rolling and we will be through June 2nd, we deliver both breakfast and lunch to, as I say, about 300 kids, 160 families, I believe, throughout every corner of the district, and we're going out 5 days a week. A lot of districts have chosen to go with, you know, drop-off points or collection points where folks can come get meals, but as we look at our demographics and our population and the way our kids are spread out, you know, a pickup point doesn't do much good for a, you know, a 13-year-old student staying home watching an eight-year-old sibling while, you know, parents go work. That doesn't work for them. So we made a commitment to try to get as many of those meals out as we could, and and I'm proud of the way our staff has responded to that.
This past week, the school board agreed to Powell's call for creation of a social-emotional curriculum stretching from pre-K all the way through the senior year of high school. He explains the motivation and goals.
Well, we are just seeing, as time rolls on, I've been here in this district for 2 or 3 years. Over time, we are seeing the need for support other than academic grow and grow. I mean, our demographics has changed, and I'm not the naysayer that things are getting worse, things are getting worse. But we do see a demographic shift in our county and in our communities, and we're seeing more kids from drug involved homes and broken homes and homes where school is not a priority, and sometimes kids aren't getting the care that they need, and they're coming into school with a lot of baggage and a lot of hurts. And to the extent that we can meet those needs, we sure are trying. We've got a great group of folks that are at the core of developing this new curriculum for social emotional learning. And the board has so far been supportive. I'm asking them to adopt a curriculum tomorrow night. I expect they'll be supportive of that. We really can give our staff the tools they need to notice when kids are struggling, and to give kids the tools they need to hang in there when things are getting tough, and to deal with some of those pressures that life puts on us. Sometimes we think that, it's a pet peeve of mine when people say, wait till you get out in the real world. Well, these kids live in the real world, and it's the real world that we've created for them, and not all corners of it are very pretty, right? And a sadness and a hurt and an embarrassment and a frustration felt by an 8-year-old isn't any less real than that felt by a 25-year-old. And the suicide rates being higher amongst young folks and being particularly high in our county, frankly, tells that story. And so we are making a concerted effort as a district to make sure we're working in partnership with the hospital on a mental health research. It primarily focuses on suicide prevention, but there's more components to that. So we've really got a lot going on in our district with regard to addressing the mental health issues that we're seeing come through the door every morning.
Powell talks about the new pressures of this digital age.
And I think the digital world that we live in now, with most kids having devices or having some access to social media, has really changed things. I mean, it used to be a student who was having a tough day at school and maybe was at odds with some friends and was feeling hurt about that. Well, they went home at 3:30 and then they did what they did with their family and their neighborhood kids. Well, now that problem that they're having at school continues to percolate between them and between other friends, and they could come in the next morning and there could be a whole new development that happened overnight while they weren't at school, and then they bring that back to school. And so that's part of the training that I think all adults that work with kids need now, is really look at the difference that social media has played and the increased challenges that are presented by social media and it sort of always being on. You hear that phrase a lot in trainings and things, that kids just can't turn it off. Those embarrassments or those worries, those anxious things that are presenting themselves, whether it's at school or any other group environment, that then when they leave that, it's not left behind. They're bringing it with them, and it's really impacting our youth, and we're trying to step up our game to help.
And Powell is saluting residents of the Hillsborough School District through the COVID-19 ordeal.
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate I think if someone said that times like this bring out the best and the worst in people, and I can't tell you how many folks I've had reach out to me and ask what they can do to help. Is there some way I can volunteer? Do you need help with the meals? Is there anything I can do? Both parents, students, and community members. We live in a very generous community, and that has really shown itself throughout all this. But I would just ask parents to continue to pay attention to announcements and things as they come up as we wrap up the year on our website and Facebook pages, and reach out and communicate with teachers to be sure that everyone's on the same page. We're missing so these kids are missing so many opportunities, and and sort of, you know, some of them really life, well, you know, once in a lifetime types of opportunities. So the different things we can do to make that more fun and create some memories for these kids, we're willing to do. And so I would encourage, you know, parents to reach out and communicate with school staff about what we can do to help.
Well, that's another edition of Around Montgomery County. I'm your host, Sean Balint. Have a great weekend, everyone.